Together we find we are home. We need each other. Animals don't make any bones about needing each other, but we try to pretend. We've been walking around the church for some reason this morning singing People Who Need People. And that children needing other children and letting our grown-up pride hide all the need inside, acting more like children than children. So we're going to talk today about the things that the animal kingdom has to teach us. And I want to start by reading you excerpts from a story from the Toronto Globe and Mail. This is from the newspaper. It's been a few years. I think it was 2009, a little way back. But this is a true story, as reported in the Toronto Globe. A man with 5 guns and more than 6,000 rounds of ammunition set himself up beside a Toronto water plant and park, planning to commit mass homicide. But a dog's affection apparently persuaded him not to go through with his plan. The man had several rifles and telescopic lenses, a camouflage balaclava, as well as a .357 Magnum and a 9mm semi-automatic pistol and more than 6,000 rounds of ammunition. He had loaded the guns and removed the safeties and the trigger locks. He had his trunk open. He was about to start shooting. He changed his mind when a dog on a walk through the park came up to him and wouldn't leave him alone. Wouldn't leave him alone. So after abandoning his plan, the man drove around Toronto, came up to a uniformed police officer and said, "I'm armed, I need to go to the hospital because I'm crazy." He later told police that he had planned to shoot the people in the park and then drive around the city, killing whomever he could to ensure that he would get life in jail. The Toronto police detective said, "We have a dog to thank somewhere." He said he decided that if there was such a nice dog in the area, then the people too must be nice, and he wasn't going to carry out his plan. Y'all, that's not so much the magic of animals as it is the magic of love. It's just that animals tend to be able to give love less discriminately than we humans. We judge who deserves it, who's worthy of it. We decide who needs it and who doesn't. And animals don't necessarily do that. So I'm going to read you another reading. This is by Dr. David Hawkins, as he told to Fran Grace in her book, The Power of Love. Doc Hawkins said, "Love has the power to transfigure a situation like that." And he's talking about this story. People put a lot of stock in reasoning and talking through something. They try to persuade through logic, but love is actually what makes the difference in our lives. Love is the energy that brings a shift in attitude. All of a sudden, because of the presence of love, someone breaks free. They're able to let go of a long-standing grudge or a major insecurity. They might say, seemingly out of nowhere, "What's the point in holding on to that?" As a psychiatrist, I often recommend patients get a pet. If you love a pet, then your capacity of love will grow. The more you love, the more you can love. You can start with a pet. We love the kitty. We love loving the kitty. The kitty loves being loved, and we love that the kitty loves being loved. See how love grows. Love and our capacity to love compounds, just as hatred would compound in the opposite direction. All love benefits all of life and the whole human race. When we love our pet dog and pet kitties, we benefit all of existence. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? That goes along with this saying that I believe so heartily, love is love is love is love is love. Love between people is love, regardless of gender, regardless of age, regardless of race or creed. Love between people and animals is love. Love between animals is love. Did the thing play behind the song when I was singing it? So you got to see some animals hang out with each other. Many of these are my animals or my neighbor's animals or animals that have some time in my life in one way or the other. Love is love is love is love is love. And so it's not animals necessarily that are the answer. Love is the answer. But here's the thing. Pets, animals, can be a safe entrance for recalcitrant humans into the world of unconditional love. An animal doesn't care whether you're pretty or ugly or fat or skinny or old or young or quiet or loud. They don't care. They don't make that distinction. They love, and they are ready and open to receive love in return. So love is the great macrocosm of this, but love presents itself in many ways, and learning and growth present themselves in many ways. And I'm going to talk about some of the other ways that our animals influence us. Play. How many of you play on a regular basis? I hope you do. I know some of you do. I have a hard time remembering to play sometimes. My dogs don't care if I have a hard time remembering to play. When it's playtime, they let me know. My cats don't care. If they want to play with my hair or my earrings while I'm being serious and busy, they're going to play. They don't care. And they remind me, oh yeah, that's important too. Whatever it is that I think is so important, I can stop and throw a ball. Or maybe not let them play with my earrings, but get them a toy to play with. Animals teach us. They're ready to go at the slightest provocation or encouragement. Here's another thing that animals teach us about. Rest. When an animal is tired, he doesn't look at his schedule and say, when's the next time I have an opening? Oh, I can take a nap on Thursday morning between 10 and 11. No, if an animal is tired, they're gone. They're just gone. One of the things that animals can teach us, those of us who have pets from an early age, is often it is our first foray or exposure to grief. It's our first loss, losing an animal. If we're lucky, our first loss. And animals teach us through the loss of them that we get to survive the loss, no matter how painful it is, and that we have a choice. And when we make the choice to love animals, it's a bargain that we make. There are very few animals that have a longer lifespan than a human being. So when you get a dog or cat or hamster or a guinea pig or a goat or a cow or a pig, you pretty much are guaranteed that you're going to outlive that animal. And so you're making a sacred pact from the beginning. I'm willing to love you wholeheartedly, even though I know I'm going to lose you. And we need to know that. We need to know we can survive loss. We need to know that we are strong enough to survive loss, because only by knowing that can we open wholeheartedly to another human who, by the very nature of humanity, might leave us. One of us is going to leave the other. Chances are, one of us is going to leave the other. And so we have practice with our animals and with the other losses in our lives to know that, yes, we need to spend the time in grief. It's not something that we just said, oh, okay, no big deal. I knew it was going to die. No, we grieve. We grieve and we cry. We mourn their losses. And thank goodness we do. We need that. We need to know what's important in our lives. We need to know that when love is, or the form that we're attached to with our love goes, that we will go through grieving. And we also need to learn. And I don't know of any other way to learn than to go through the grief, that the love itself never dies. It doesn't go anywhere. If love has been given and received, that love belongs forever in our hearts. It can't ever leave us, though the earthly form of the loved one can leave. So often loving a pet is a true step in courage, in being courageous enough to fully love something that we know is going to leave us. And surviving disappointment is one of the greatest things that we can learn how to do as humans. Otherwise, we either spend all our time throwing fits every time something disappoints us, and we've seen how that plays out in the adult world. I know some of you know people who are constantly in that state of fit throwing from disappointment, or the other side of that, which is how I was in much of my earlier life, is that I just decided I wasn't ever going to want anything. And if I didn't want it bad enough, then I couldn't be disappointed. And you know what, y'all? That makes for a very small life. You gotta want it. Whatever it is, the desires of your heart, I believe, were put there by the Creator, by love. And if you don't get it, this may be a lesson for right now, y'all. If there's something you want very badly, and yet you know you might not get it, what you need to know about yourself is that you are strong enough to survive disappointment. You're strong enough to survive. So if you can survive grief and loss, then you can certainly survive disappointment that something doesn't turn out the way you want it to. The other really important thing that animals teach us, and a lot of people buy their children pets for this very reason, or rescue pets, for responsibility. Often animals are the first creatures in our lives that we make a true commitment to, because animals don't need us sometimes, they need us always, no matter what. If we're having a bad day, we still have to feed the dog. If we're having a good day, we still have to feed the dog, no matter what. And that teaches us, when we take on that responsibility, when we take on that commitment, what it teaches us, if we're paying attention, is that love is not how you feel. Love is what you do. So you don't have to feel loving towards somebody that you're taking for a walk on a day that your legs hurt so bad you can hardly walk. But the proof of your love is that you do it anyway. And if we're good at loving, we do that throughout our lives for a lot of different people and other creatures. Love is what you do. Along with that, serving that responsibility and that commitment comes a sense of satisfaction and self-esteem. I'm giving of myself for another person, for another creature. I say person, my people are cats and dogs mostly. I've had other people in my life too, but lots and lots of cats and dogs. And they teach me a certain amount of self-esteem, that I can do this. I can be selfless. Who knew? I could be a little bit selfless and love someone more than just how I'm feeling at the moment. It gives us a sense of satisfaction and a sense of self-esteem. And here's, don't underplay the fact that they love you back. It feels good to be loved. It feels good to be loved. Animals can do that for us. One of the things that my animals do for me is that they allow me, and other people's animals do it for me too, is that I'm shy. I know you think I'm not shy because I'm standing up here in front of a camera and in front of people with a microphone in my hand, but that's not the same as walking out into my neighborhood and just being Melinda without a role to play or something that I need, a purpose, something that I'm here to do. And I'm actually very shy at meeting new people, and animals are always the way in. I can talk to someone's dog much more easily than I can just introduce myself to someone. And I meet people because I've got my dog and they have comments about it. It's a beautiful way to meet your neighbors. Take a walk in the neighborhood. You don't have to even have a pet. Take a walk in the neighborhood and notice other people's pets, and notice how pet owners love you to notice their pets. And notice how a conversation can grow from that. And from a conversation can grow understanding, and from understanding can grow relationship. Doesn't have to be a long-term relationship. There are lots of people out walking their dogs who do not agree with me politically, and it doesn't matter because we both think their dog is awesome. That provides us a common ground of love and humanity that we can base a conversation or a relationship on. How valuable is that in today's world? Also, the other thing that animals can teach us, it may be our first exposure to false advertising. And what I mean by that is, you get a kitten, it is the cutest, most fun, most energetic thing in the world. It's amazing. Kittens are endless entertainment. Now, puppies are endless entertainment too, but they're also peeing and pooping on everything, which kittens don't do. So they're both so cute. And you play with a kitten and it's so fun for about 6 or 7 months, and they're so playful and they're so wonderful and they just make you so happy. And then they take a nap that lasts the next 18 years, perhaps. You never know what kind of cat you're going to get just by the kind of kitten that you had. I've had some of the most interested, exploring, smart kittens turn into some of the dullest, cats. And I've also had the opposite. I've had kittens that didn't really, that weren't as stimulated by things when they were little, and they grow up to be the best companions who are interested always. It doesn't, here's the thing, we never know what we're gonna get. So having a dog or a cat is a really good idea before you have a child. Because you never know what you're gonna get there either. Once again, they're teaching us about unconditional love. We love, I joke about false advertising, but we love that kitten and we love that cat for all of its 16 or 18 or 20 years because we have formed a bond. And that's what we do with people. It doesn't always have to do with how they behave. When we are able to form a bond with people, we love them for a lifetime. Animals can teach us about love. They can teach us about resentment. Wish I didn't have to walk this dog. They can teach us about our own, teach us about ourselves, about our tendency to be annoyed. This dog's driving me crazy. I have stuff to do. I'm getting annoyed at something that I chose and took on. How often do I do that in my life? They can teach us about fun and flexibility. They can teach us about making the best of things. You know what? A dog does not need an expensive toy. You know? Bob has bought our cats these little cute mouses that have fur on them, and they actually make a little purring sound when you throw them around. And the cats love them, but you know what they love? The wrapper off the bread bag. They can play with that for hours. And flexibility, making fun from inside, not from the toys that we get on the outside. Does that spark any idea of humanity in you? There are those of us who keep looking for another toy, thinking that that's where our good lies, or that's where our fun lies, or that's where our self-esteem lies. And the truth is, if we don't have it in here, we're not going to get it out there. And when we really are ready to have fun, anything will do. When we're truly ready to love, then we can love anyone. Flexibility, making the best of things, focusing on another, self-sacrifice, hard decisions. Sometimes the hardest decision we have to make in life is whether or when it's time to let a pet go. That's a very hard decision to make. And you know what? Our whole lives are about when to hold on and when to let go. When to hold on and when to let go of a thought or an idea have love songs written about love that absolutely stinks. I'm going to keep holding on when all the good is gone. It's very, my friend Greg Tamblyn, who you're going to see in a couple of weeks, has an album called Rescuing the World from Whiny Victim Love Songs. Whiny Victim. We do that in life because we don't know when to let go. Animals can teach us about holding on and letting go. And animals can teach us about unexpected things. How many of you have seen someone sends you on the internet a picture of a cow nursing a fawn? Or of a dog nursing kittens? Or of a pig nursing a puppy? There's something so loving about that. There's something so loving about that. And I have this dog named Molly, who you saw a lot of, the great big, sort of overweight, yellow lab golden retriever mix. And she's big. She can sit on you and hurt you. But she loves kittens. She will let a kitten this tiny actually climb on her face. I mean, literally climb on her face and grab her ears and bite them. And she just kind of looks like, why are you doing that? I don't understand. She would never hurt a kitten. That's an unexpected thing. We thought we would have to sort of keep the kitten away from the great big dog and we'd hurt it, but actually we had to give the great big dog a break from a kitten that was constantly, literally in her face, on her face. It helps us to let go of judgments when we see unexpected things and we know them as true. They teach us about humor and loyalty and disloyalty, right? Nothing more loyal than a dog, right? We had a dog named Barkley, who was a little Bichon, and if any car drove up with a child in it, he didn't care, he'd get in the car and drive away. He would walk down, if a family walked by and they had kids, he'd just walk away with them. We had to go get him. Somebody, literally a car, tried to pick him up one time. We were like, oh, that's our dog. We're standing out here in the yard with him, and I know he looks like he wants to go with you, but he's not allowed. He's our dog. Loyalty. Disloyalty. We know animals are loyal to people who are cruel to them. And we know, here's the thing that I love. All of my animals are rescue animals. Some of them just foundlings off the street, and some of them from rescue organizations, but all of them are rescue animals. And I have had animals that were quite abused. I had one, the most dangerous animal I ever had was a 4-pound, 9-ounce Yorkshire Terrier. He literally fit in the palm of my hand, and he bit. He would bite. One time he bit me all the way through my thumbnail into my thumb. And he would bite just about anybody. He learned not to bite me and Bob. But he had been abused. Someone had been cruel to him. It's hard to believe that humans can be cruel to something that delicate and that dependent. But someone had been cruel to him. And you know what? We never held it against him that he had such a terrible temperament. Can you know that any human being you've ever met who has that terrible a temperament probably was abused at some point? Could you show a human being the grace that you would gladly show a dog who had been abused? That's a lesson you could learn if you're listening, as A.A. Mills says. We like to talk to animals, but we don't always listen. There's a lesson we could learn if we're listening, because the Holy Spirit loves us through everything. There's nothing that the Holy Spirit cannot give you love through. Animals, people, ideas, sunsets, mountains, streets, water. The Holy Spirit can love you through anything. Through anything. And we have a tendency, especially with wild animals, and you can see our own judgments because we say, big bad wolf, killer shark. Guess what, y'all? If you eat meat, you're a killer. And that's exactly what a shark is doing. It's getting food. It's not killing just for fun. It's getting food. Is there a big bad wolf? No. Wolves are not bad. Wolves are predators, and they have to eat. But it's funny how we make those judgments. Wild animals can teach us that actually we are as much a part of this planet as any other plant or creature. We try to pretend that we're not. But our animals can remind us that we are. They can remind us that there's always time to be humorous, because the busiest squirrel putting away his nuts for the winter will always take time to jab with you, I have found. Possums in my neighborhood teach me about hope, and they teach me about tolerance. Because when I go out to feed my cats in the evening, there's often a possum sitting among them. And he's hoping to get some cat food. And he's hoping that we won't notice that he's not one of the cats. And the cats have taught us tolerance, because they're like, yeah, he's kind of ugly, but I don't care. There's enough food to go around. They never bother with the possum. They never try to drive it off. Hope, tolerance, patience. And even the cruelty that we see in the world, animals can teach us about our capacity for recovery, our capacity for recovery. And finally, remember that we're all animals. We are all animals. And we can teach each other. We do teach each other. Let's pay attention to what we're teaching each other. Are you teaching the world that you are safe? Are you teaching the world that you can see abuse when someone's been abused, and you can give kindness even when kindness is not returned? Because animals can do that. Can you do that? Can you do that? We learn everyone wants to be loved. Some are too scared to give love. Some are too scared to receive love. What if we were able to see past that fear and love anyway? Again, some people talk to animals. Not many listen, though. That's the problem. Says Pooh. Thank you. So let's take that into a short meditation. We're going to let's sing into it. We're going to sing the face of God again. And I just want you, as we sing it, we'll sing through it 2 or 3 times. And I'm just going to ask you, as we sing it, to picture all of the faces in your life. The animal faces, the human faces, the faces of mountains, the faces of rivers and roadsides. We are a part of this earth. And on Pet Blessing Sunday, I like to remember that. That there are not animals and humans. There are animals and plants and rocks. And that's pretty much the 3 things that there are: animal, vegetable, or mineral, and we're animal. So is Kay. Go ahead.
You are the
understand that you can see the face of God in any and everything. Understand that any and everything can see the face of God in you. Breathe into the calm peace of it. Feel how good it feels to be that loose, that free, that relaxed. And the next time you feel yourself tightening, judging whether love is needed or deserved, keeping score, perhaps you can remember the freedom of this moment and practice it. For the ability to let go and let love, not just let love in, not just let love out, but let love through. May we leave here today knowing that we are channels for divine love to pass through to any and every creature. For this amazing grace, we give amazed thanks. And so it is.